Welcome to the Baseball America College Podcast. I'm Teddy Cahill. Today we will be joined by Southern Miss coach Scott Barry. Scott Barry has led the Golden Eagles to back-to-back Conference USA championships. Last year, of course, they doubled up Conference USA titles, winning the regular season and the tournament. The year before they won the regular season, they hosted a regional. Over the last 2 years, they've won 94 games. That's the best two-year stretch in program history. Coach Barry has been there at Southern Miss now for several years as head coach, I guess 18 years overall, as head coach and assistant coach. And Southern Miss has really established itself as one of the powerhouses in Conference USA. And, of course, Rice kind of held sway over that league for a really long time, winning a lot of either tournament titles or conference titles or both in many years. And in the last couple of years, though, it's really been Southern Miss that kind of has stepped forward. And this last year they had a few All-Americans, Nick Sandlin on the mound, Luke Reynolds at third base, Matt Wallner, the 2017 freshman of the year as well on that team. And you know, that trio was so good for them and has been such a big part of what what they were able to accomplish this year. Luke Reynolds moves on to pro ball now, though, as a 10th round pick, and Nick Sandlin moves on as a second round pick to the Indians. I definitely should know that. I'm working on the Indians chapter for the prospect handbook, and Nick Sandlin is going to feature in there because he capped off his sensational, first team All-America year with a great run in pro ball and got all the way up to double A. So those guys have moved on. Matt Wallner is back now. He's a junior. He'll be one of the top prospects in this year's draft, a potential first round pick, just an incredibly toolsy outfielder, a lot of power, maybe a prototypical right fielder. I know he's played a lot of center field for Southern Miss, and then also he pitches. And so it's a challenge to see how Southern Miss will use him, and he'll kind of be the one that's being counted on this year. But so the point of this all is that there's a lot going on with the Southern Miss program, and so we wanted to talk with Scott Barry, get his thoughts on how the Golden Eagles have made this run over the last 2 years, what the keys to that have been, and now looking forward, what they're doing this fall as they look forward with an eye to 2019 and trying to make this three straight conference titles in a row. And, this program just is, I feel like they're maybe not so under the radar now after these last couple of years, but it's kind of, one of these high mid-major programs in some respects. I know Conference USA is kind of a little difficult to classify in baseball, but that this is just turned into such a consistent contender, not only for Conference USA, but also for regional berths. And the way they've played the last couple of years, I know that, obviously they did host a regional, and for a while last year, it looked like maybe they could make it two in a row. Ultimately, RPI kind of got them. Their non-conference schedule didn't really hold up. But, this is a team and a program that you definitely have to be keeping an eye on. And it's in one of the best college baseball states in the country, in Mississippi. So when you put all of that together, this is just a really interesting program, a really interesting time for this program. And so with all of that said, let's just get to this interview with Scott Barry of Southern Miss. All right, well, today, like I mentioned, we're joined by Southern Miss coach Scott Barry here on the Baseball America College podcast. So, Coach, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Well, appreciate you having me on, Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, the Southern Miss program obviously has had a couple great seasons here. You guys have won consecutive Conference USA titles. I guess it's 94 wins in the last 2 years, the best run in program history. And have you been able to reflect on that at all in over the summer or anything? Like, what do you remember, or what are you going to take from the last couple years that of outstanding play that you guys have had?
Well, I think more than anything is are the players that we've had in this program and how they've invested the time and the effort needed to be successful, both on and off the field. And I think when you look at something like we've done the last 2 years and what has been the success and what it's been about the leadership in that clubhouse and these guys, how they've come together. So that's what's special to me. And, you know, the wins take care of themselves, but the relationships are what you remember for a long, long time. And certainly those are some outstanding ones that we built over the last couple of years with these guys.
For sure. You know, one of those guys was Nick Sandlin. And, of course, we know that he had a sensational season on the mound. He was a first-team All-American and, you know, really did some spectacular things moving from the closer's role to the ace. But one thing that recently was brought to my attention was that he was also a first-team academic All-American. I mean, just how special is that kid, you know, who had been your closer for a couple of years and then you put at the front of your rotation and also has, you know, excelled in school in a pretty difficult major, from my understanding?
Yeah, he was in the construction engineering major. Actually, he was in my office yesterday and collected a big old box of awards that I've been charging in my storage fee all summer until he got done with Pro Bowl. So it was great to see him yesterday and reflect on his career here and where he is now moving forward. But, you know, what a great young man that he is. And I think it all starts with his parents and how he was raised and brought up. And he never wavered from that. You know, we had the luxury of having his older brother, Jake, in the program as well. And same type of individual, same characteristics as Nick has. But you're right. I mean, the academic All-American, you know, that just tops everything off from the All-American that he was on the field. But, you know, arguably the best pitcher we've ever had in this program. I know in the 18 years that I've been here, I've never had one that has been that consistent every time out. And when I say consistent, that's what I'm putting him above everybody else. I mean, every time he took the mound, Teddy, I mean, it was lights out, in all honesty. So, but, you know, truly a competitor in all senses of the word in everything that he did, you know, even in the classroom. So, but a great, great role model for our program as he carries that torch on into Pro Bowl now.
When we talked before the season, you know, you mentioned that you wanted to put Nick at the front of the rotation because that was what was best for this team. When you were doing that, did you envision anything close to the kind of success he had as a starter?
No, you know, because I've never really experienced that. What I just you know, talked about. I've never seen somebody just have that consistent outings time after time after time again. And, you know, certainly the confidence that he has and has had since he arrived on campus as a freshman, earning, you know, freshman All-American honors as a closer only on the back end of the game, to where the second year where we used him on the back end, but we also kind of bridged there in the middle with him. We felt like there were midweek games that we had to hold on to win and continue to score runs, knowing that, you know, we weren't going to be able to use him as much on the weekend, to where the decision was, hey, we really don't have a Friday night guy. We need a guy to set the tone. You give us the best opportunity. Of course, it brought a big smile to his face because he knew that's exactly what he wanted to do. And, boy, he embraced that role and what we asked him to do for sure.
You're a pitching guy. And you guys have had several, you know, Nick throws from a lower slot, and you've had several guys like that over the years at Southern Miss. What is it about guys like that that you like on your staff?
Well, I think that, number one, it certainly gives a little bit different angle than most hitters see, particularly at the high school level. You know, we get calls all the time about, hey, what do y'all see in making these kids go from down under? Well, Nicky came to us like that, but if you look at Southern Miss and the history of guys that throw from a lower arm angle, I think it goes back to Tony Phillips, who actually made it to AAA with Seattle, and then it moves into Chad Bradford, Tyler Key, Austin Tubb, Daniel Beth, Colin Cargill. I mean, it goes on and on and on with Tad Bradford obviously making it the at the highest level with major league service for 12 years, I think. But we've had a lot of success there. I really like it because it's a great matchup, obviously, against righties, and we've been able to utilize those guys very well.
Well, you're getting into fall ball now, and you do have to replace now Nick and like Luke Reynolds and some other key pieces from last year's team. But you have a pretty strong recruiting class coming in, I think, and it's a nice mix of guys. Some junior college transfers like Brooks Warren, who was drafted by the Mets, and Brant Burlelock, and then some prep guys like Hunter LeBlanc. And Danny Lynch, who you, of course, had his older brother, Tim Lynch, earlier. What do you like about this group that's coming in of newcomers?
Well, certainly I like the energy that they're bringing into the fall as their first year, whether they're a transfer or a high school incoming kid. So they're not shying away from competition. That's what we're really trying to preach with them every time we go out on that field, particularly on scrimmage days, which will be today and Saturday and Sunday, how we go out and compete. And these guys aren't shying away from it whatsoever. I like that. We got to continue to evaluate the ones that you mentioned, as well as several others, and try to really figure out how everybody's role is going to play as we move towards the spring. We're missing some really good ones from last year. You mentioned Luke Reynolds, who just had a phenomenal year for us at third base, was the newcomer of the year in Conference USA, as well as the hitter of the year. So he leaves a huge void there, particularly in the middle of the lineup of what he brought. But, you know, every program has to deal with that, Teddy, and we're no exception. And this year we'll have to deal with that void. Danny Lynch, you mentioned, Kenny's younger brother, has really looked good here early on. He's handled himself well defensively and really has a great approach at the plate, much like Timmy did as a true freshman several years ago. So we're excited about the guys that we're bringing in. We just got to be able to figure out all the pieces and how to work them as we get ready for, an opener in February.
I guess that's the beauty of fall ball is that, you get some time to work on these things. And what do you want your team to do, or what are you looking to get out of this fall as you prepare for next spring?
Well, I'm big on making mistakes in the fall. I want us to fail in the fall because I think that that's where true learning comes from. And if we can learn from those mistakes in the fall, then hopefully we won't make them in the spring. So, we put them through every kind of situation that we feel like that we may see in the spring, and hopefully you're successful in them. But if we fail, we're not losing a game in the fall. I tend to say we're going to win a game because of it in the fall. So we're going to learn to compete, and hopefully as we move forward, the chemistry of role playing comes together, the togetherness that we all want from a new team as we get into the spring develops. So, those are the goals that we're trying to reach this fall.
One of the returners you have is of course Matt Wallner, who has been such an incredible player for the last couple of years, the freshman of the year in 2017, All-American again last year. Matt's such a toolsy player. You can use him in so many different ways in the outfield and on the mound. And what are you looking for from Matt as we go into his junior season?
Well, certainly excited about, the best thing about a sophomore, we always say, is he's going to be a junior next year, which means he carries another year of experience with him as he moves forward. And the experience he had with Team USA this summer and the Cape Cod certainly will be beneficial for him as he moves into his junior campaign here. But you're right, we can utilize Matt at all positions in the outfield. Certainly center field has been his position, but, he may see a lot more action in right. But I think the biggest thing with him this year and our team is more time on the mound. And now how we're going to use him, I'm not really sure. We may choose to use him as a starter in midweek games, in all honesty. To clear his way to swing a bat, play a position on the weekends. But we're going to have to utilize his arm, definitely. It's a power arm. It's 94, 96 with a good slider. good tilt on the ball with a 6'5" frame. I think that's with Matt, we're excited about the abilities that he brings here in his junior year.
Absolutely. When you look at this team and at the conference, you're going for a third straight title. What kind of identity do you feel like this team is going to have on the field?
Well, hopefully, the guys that we return, Walner, Slater, Donaldson, Guidry, those guys who have been a big part of these two championships the prior 2 years will continue to lead the way with the new guys and the young guys. And this is how we expect to play when we're here. We talk a lot about that. What do you want to be known for? And whatever that identity is that we decide on, we've got to live up to it and be accountable for it every time we hit the field. So, I think it starts, obviously it starts with me at the top, but then it moves its way down into that locker room and the guys who have really, really had the success and understand the work behind it to get that success. So, those guys are going to be really big for us as we try to defend, a conference, not only regular season title, but also a tournament title.
Absolutely. You mentioned the conference tournament that announced this fall that it's staying in Biloxi next year. And, what do you think of that, just having it close by for your fans?
Well, outstanding. Southern Miss and the whole state of Mississippi embraces baseball so strongly. It is a baseball state, and particularly the largest population in the state of Mississippi is the lower third down on the coast and from Hattiesburg down, which is Southern Miss, territory, honestly, and a lot of alumni. So it gives our people an opportunity to come out and see us. Of course, we got to make the tournament. That's no guarantee. we've got a lot of work to do to put ourselves in that position. But, I think year in, year out, it is shown when it's in Mississippi, whether it's at Southern Miss or down at MGM in Biloxi, those have been our largest crowds of Conference USA tournament play. So we're excited about it being here for year three. Biloxi, they do an outstanding job of hosting that. It's a beautiful landscape with a lot of things for people to do that outside of baseball when your team isn't playing. But, I think it is really a great venue down there for CUSA baseball.
You've been at Southern Miss, I guess you said, for now 18 years. What is it about Hattiesburg that makes that such a special place for your program?
Well, I think it's the ideal college town. It's not too big. It's not too small. There's a lot of things to do. When Southern Miss baseball plays, that's the ticket in town that everybody wants to come and see. I think that the Pete Taylor Park is fan-friendly. There's not a bad seat. We have the Roost out there that is actually tailgating inside the fences. So it's just a really, really neat atmosphere. One that I'm proud to be a part of and have our community and our fan base and just baseball enthusiasts really invest in. And I think that's exactly what you see here. And Hattiesburg is, from Little League on up to our level, is a big baseball community in town.
Yeah, I just love the way the whole state embraces baseball. Ole Miss and Mississippi State, obviously, do a really good job of that, and your fans do a good job of that. But, it goes even further down. Got Delta State, that's always a strong D2 program. It just seems like you said, it's just a baseball state.
It really is. And when you look at the population base of 2.9 million for our state, and then you start looking at total attendance from the big three schools, Division I schools, and you compare them against the other three big schools in any other state, it's not anywhere close. Mississippi outdraws any other state. And, I think that pretty much sums up the feelings about baseball in the state of Mississippi.
Absolutely. We've got the playoffs going in MLB right now. You've got Brian Dozier up with the Dodgers. How much do you get to see him?
Well, he works out with us in the off season. I do a lot of hunting with him. He lives here in Hattiesburg. He and his wife Renee have made this home. I think both, neither one of them are from here, but both are graduates of Southern Miss, and certainly are giving back to our community and love living here. And I'm glad that he does. But I talk to him every now and then, mostly by text. I try not to bother him a little bit on the phone because obviously he's really busy, but. We're so proud of him and the accomplishments that he's made since he left Southern Miss. You know, when he was here, he was such an outstanding leader, you know, an outstanding person, continues to do that at the next level and at the highest level. So we're very proud and honored to go out there and watch him play and the impact that he brings with any team that he's on.
Absolutely. I mean, he's just a great representative of the program over the last several years. And, you know, before long, I mean, Nick Sandlin made it up to double A already. So before long, I'm sure we'll have some more big time Southern Miss players. And I know he's not the only big leaguer, but I know you have a strong pipeline of players to come behind him.
Well, you know, and those guys that we just mentioned, those two guys are such humble individuals, and they don't take things for granted, and they treat people like people want to be treated. And I think that's what's so special about both Brian and Nick in the position. Obviously, Brian in a higher role right now, having been an all-star a couple of years at the major league level. But you know, I feel pretty certain that Nick is not too far behind.
Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing that and seeing Southern Miss this spring. Coach, we really appreciate you joining us here on the Baseball America College Podcast today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you again to Scott Berry, head coach at Southern Miss. Some great insight there into what makes this program tick and what has made it tick for the last couple of years, some of these key players that have come in and out. The Nick Sandlin obviously is someone that really fascinates me. Just such an incredible season that he had as a junior, and to go from being a reliever his first 2 years and a really, really effective reliever to go into the rotation and being it as a guy that's one of these lower slot guys. I mean, like Coach and I talked about there, Southern Miss has a lot of history with lower slot sidearmers, and but for the most part, those are guys that we think of that are in the bullpen that. Yeah, maybe they can be multi-inning relievers. That's something that Sandlin definitely did when he was a reliever. And, you see those guys be able to, they can come back pretty quickly. It's easier to recover, I guess, when you're a sidearmer than when you're coming over the top and throwing 95. But Nick Sandlin did that and then very effectively moved to the rotation kind of out of necessity, as we mentioned there, that, Southern Miss didn't have a true Friday guy. And Nick Sandlin definitely proved that, no, actually they do. It's just their closer that can be this Friday guy. And, he really changed the tenor of that whole pitching staff by having the kind of special season that he did. And Luke Reynolds kind of doing the same thing at third base. I mean, that's a guy that transferred from Mississippi State, had to sit out a year. There's some injuries. And, he hadn't played in a while. And then he comes out and puts together a player of the year kind of season for Southern Miss and really, help that offense, overcome some of the losses they'd had from the 2017 team. So those two guys moved on. We heard from Coach about what they're looking for from Matt Wallner this year. That's going to be fascinating to see. Like I mentioned, he's a really high-end draft prospect. And I think most of that's, they're looking at him as a hitter. But when you have the kind of arm that he has, you got to put that to use. And so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's thrown about 30 innings is all in his college career. So whether that they figure out a way to get him in games a little more consistently as a reliever, or if it is this idea that he can be a midweek starter, Southern Miss plays good competition in the midweeks. And so having a guy like that face teams like an Ole Miss, like a Mississippi State, like a Southeast Louisiana. I don't have Southern Miss's schedule in front of me, but I know that they play traditionally a really difficult slate of midweek opponents. And so if you have Matt Wallner in there in midweeks, maybe that helps them to win some more of those midweek games, and obviously that helps your RPI a lot. So that's something to watch as we go forward, and just in general, Matt Wallner is just such an exciting player to watch. Anytime he's at the plate, something special might be about to happen. So that'll be a fun one for the people down in Hattiesburg this season, as they look forward to watching Southern Miss go for their third straight Conference USA championship. So that's going to do it here on the Baseball America College Podcast for today. Thank you again to Scott Berry for joining us. And remember that the listeners can find plenty of more exciting content over at baseballamerica.com. The league top 20s that we do for every minor league, they continue this week. We're down to the short season leagues. So if you're looking for where your favorite college stars from 2018 ranked and after their pro debut, this week is definitely going to be the week for you. We have the New York Penn League today on Monday, and it continues on down to the complex leagues. So I expect to see plenty of ex-college players on those lists, and you can check those out, baseballamerica.com. And before long, we're going to be into the top 10s for all 30 teams as that builds towards the prospect handbook when we rank the top 30 prospects in every organization in baseball. And you can pre-order that at store.baseballamerica.com. It's a fantastic book that we put a lot of work into, so hopefully you all enjoy that. And there will be some more college content online as the week continues, and plenty more to come. Of course, we are also doing our playoff podcasts, that daily podcast throughout this month that I'm sure you have found if you are listening to this one. So if you're enjoying those, if you're enjoying the college podcast this fall, as we talk to plenty of hopefully interesting guests from around the country, please let us know. Rate us, review us. The iTunes algorithm loves that. And we'd like to hear from you as well. So let us know there. Tweet at me. I'm at Ted Cahill. Hopefully you are enjoying these podcasts. And maybe you want to just give us a 5-star review. I don't know. That's an idea. But if you aren't, just let me know. And again, I'm on Twitter at Ted Cahill. And we'll be back here next week with a new college podcast. And again, don't forget that we have the daily playoff podcasts throughout the month as well for you. So plenty to listen to. Thank you guys for listening today, and we'll see you back here next week.